Amen. Thank you, Darlene, Nancy. Everyday people. Doesn't sound very exciting when you put it that way, eh? That's me. I'm just an everyday person, average guy, one face in a sea of faces. You know, nobody really cares about me. Why would God want to use me? And yet, as we just heard sung, and as the Bible clearly teaches, Paul said it himself, the weak, the base, and the foolish. Anybody here want to admit to being weak, base, you know, not really nothing special or foolish? That's me. I qualify. God, here I am. Ooh, pick me. I'm going to be the best at this, right? Yeah, there you go. Got some hands going up. You know, and I'm thankful for that. It's a great segue into what we're going to talk about this morning, by the way. In Acts chapter 22, go ahead and turn there. It's a great segue for this reason, because it's the testimonies of those whose lives have been changed by God that help others choose Christ so that their lives can be changed by God. You know, if Christianity is nothing more than just another religion to help human beings live, you know, fairly well with each other, to keep us from killing each other, to try to have a happy life, if that's all Christianity is, there's a lot of other things out there much better. You know, work really hard, make lots of money, and then buy what you want. Buy your happiness. If Christianity is nothing more than just something that makes your life a little bit better, then we may as well find other reasons. But if Christianity, if Christ is all about eternal life, salvation, and redemption, which we know it is, then it changes everything. And so we have a testimony, we have a story. And God wants us to tell that story to other people. You know, I remember growing up listening to the testimonies of different people, and I think we've all surmised this before. Some people will share their testimony, and it can be maybe elaborate, and I was born in this country, and I was shipped over here, and this happened to me, and I was in prison, and, you know, jungles and war. And we hear sometimes those kinds of testimonies, and we think, wow, I don't have that kind of testimony. I just was born in a boring old town, you know, called Truro, and then I moved to New Brunswick, and I had an average, everyday family, and nothing really exciting ever happens to me, and you know, I didn't really go through any of these incredible things. You know, sometimes we hear people's testimonies and we compare. I don't think that's, not only is that not a good idea, but I don't think God wants us to do that. He doesn't want us to compare or to compete. Each of you have a testimony, a story that is unique and important and valuable, and God wants to use you. Think about that. I'm going to go on that song for a little longer. God wants to use you. Think of yourself this morning. You know, say your name in your head and recognize, Christian, God wants to use you to impact the lives of others. He really, really does. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior, then I would back up a little more and start there. You need to be saved. You're in trouble. But once we trust in Christ, once He becomes our Savior, we're redeemed, we're saved, we're safe, then God doesn't want to just save us and stick us on a shelf and say, there, you just stay out of the way. He wants to use us to share that testimony that we now have with the world around us. And each of us have a wonderful testimony. No matter what you think about your testimony, it's wonderful because it was a miracle that happened in your life. You became a new creature. You became born again, a child of God. And so we have a story to tell. Every one of us has a story that's very valuable that God will use to impact the lives of others around us, that they might come to Christ, that they might be saved. And so Paul has his own testimony. And we're going to dive into Acts chapter 22 here this morning and talk a little bit about that. I'm not sure how far we're going to get. We're going to break bread also this morning. But Acts chapter 22, remember last week, of course, Paul was doing his best to try to stave off the wolves, right? There had been some rumors going around. Paul's a bad guy and he's, you know, disregarded and discarded all of our culture and our traditions, and he's being very disrespectful. And so we got to do something about him. As a matter of fact, they would have killed him had not the Roman soldiers got involved. Remember the centurion and the Roman soldiers, they had to literally pull Paul out of the crowd. They showed up, they were beating him up. As soon as the authorities show up, they kind of back away a little bit. And the Roman soldiers realize, we got to get him out. They're going to kill him. We got to figure out what's going on. So they get Paul out of there. He's now arrested. He's incarcerated. And he's safe. He's safe in God's custody. Now, the Romans thought they had him in their custody. They kind of did, but not really. He's safe in God's will and in God's plans. And you remember, Paul knew this was going to happen. The Spirit had already revealed that to him. He was bound in the Spirit. He knew there was going to be trouble. Others told him, there's going to be trouble, Paul. Don't go to Jerusalem. They're going to arrest you. They're going to bind you up. They're going to imprison you. It could get worse. And Paul's, I know, but God, I got to go. I'm compelled to go. I want to go. I want to serve my God. I want to share my story, my testimony. I want others to know what God has done in my life. He has given me peace. He has given me forgiveness. He has given me eternal life, hope beyond anything we could ever really understand. And Paul wants others to have that hope. He wants others to know the truth. So he has a testimony. And he's the one that referred to himself as weak, base, and foolish. He said, I don't know much. I can't speak very eloquently. I'm not a good speaker, he said, but I know this. Jesus Christ died for me. He rose again, and I want others to know that they can be saved. And he had a story to tell. He had a testimony that he wanted to share. And so don't we all. In Acts chapter 22, you'll remember that Paul asked the Roman soldier, let me back up a little bit here, in verse 40. Let's go back to verse 37. And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou the Egyptian? So the Roman soldier was confused about who this guy was starting the trouble. Are you that Egyptian that was leading that insurrection back a little while ago? And Paul's like, no, I'm not that guy. And then he kind of clears up. He tells him who he is. In verse 40, it says, and when he had given him license, verse 39, but Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. Now this is where I wanted to get before we pray. Paul says, he asks the soldier, can I speak to the people? Will you give me an opportunity to talk to all of this mob? This is Paul's opportunity to share his testimony with this mob that wants to kill him. You know, it's such a gracious act. We don't even realize it. Remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross, they were cursing at him. They had just violated him in many different ways. His body abused him. And even as he hung there dying, suffering, they mocked him and wagged their tongues and their heads at him. And what did he do? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You know, he prayed for them. He had nothing but love and grace for them. He said to the thief, today you'll be with me in paradise because of that thief's faith in Christ as the Son of God, as Messiah. The point is that even now Paul has that same level of grace and concern and compassion for even the mob that wants to kill him. They were trying to tear him apart. Chapter 21, they wanted him dead. They were angry. They've heard the rumors. It didn't matter what the truth was. They wanted him dead. And what does Paul want to do in return? He wants to clear his name. He wants to give a defense, but mostly he wants to share his testimony. And it starts with, you know, here's my defense. But as we read through it, we realize that Paul is not defending himself. He's defending the truth. He's defending the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shares not only his testimony, but the truth of the gospel with those that are there that day. And this is what I love about this. You know, God gives Paul a stage, a platform. And Paul's excited. He's not upset with God because of the circumstances. God, you know, they're all angry at me. I'm in trouble. I've been arrested. I want a better situation than this. You know, make me valuable and important and loved. And then I'll talk to everybody. That's not how God does it. God has provided an opportunity for Paul to share his testimony. And you know, there's been times in my life, likely you as well, when God has provided us opportunities to share our testimony or our faith or to share Jesus, and we've not maybe taken advantage of that testimony or that time to share our testimony. And we regret that. I don't know if anybody else has ever done that, but I know there's been times in my life when I knew I should have said something or I wanted to, I was convicted, but I resisted. And I just didn't. And then after the fact, I felt guilty. I felt convicted about that. I thought, you know, I should have said something. I was ashamed of the gospel. And so God is gracious, and he provides us with further opportunities to grow in that faith and that ability and to meet that conviction, to meet that need, that requirement of sharing our faith. It takes a while to get the courage up, but God will help us to do that. He'll provide us with opportunities over and over. Anyway, let me pray, and then we're going to read. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you again for each one that's here. Lord, as we read the verses and as we listen, speak to us. We ask, Father, sincerely, help us to understand, but also help us to see the message, to see, Lord, the lesson in the verses and in the text. And teach each of us, Father, what you want us to know. Help me, Lord, as I share your word today. Give me a tongue to speak with and a mind to think with. And we ask for your blessing and your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 22. Nope, I'll get it right. Verse 1, chapter 22. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make unto you now. Paul's standing now before a mob of people. You can imagine, think of what they were, you know, they're probably standing there like, oh, this guy, he's going to talk to us now? We should get him. Let's go get him. You know, they're angry. They want to kill the guy. They're so mad at Paul. And finally, Paul has an opportunity to address the crowd. The Roman soldier has helped him with that. God has allowed him this opportunity. And so he takes full advantage of it. Men, brethren, and fathers. You know, it's interesting. Stephen said the same thing as they were taking his life. Men, brethren, fathers. And then he pleaded with them and he shared his testimony. Paul does the same thing. Hear ye my defense, which I make unto you now. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue, and when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, like, okay, he's speaking in our language. Let's listen to see what he has to say. And he says, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. Now here's the point. Here's what Paul is saying. He stands before this mob. They're angry with Paul because he's not practicing his faith, his religion. He's not living the way that they think he should be. He's wavered from where they think he should be living, how he should be acting and what he should be saying. And he's saying to them, I was once like you. I was once where you are. I once believed the same way that you did. As a matter of fact, he even says, verse 3 at the end of the verse, I was zealous toward God as ye all are this day. Imagine that. He's very graciously says, you guys are really zealous. Yeah, we're going to kill you because we disagree with what you're saying and we feel it's heresy and we're going to take your life for it. And so Paul says, yeah, I used to be that zealous. You know, I used to be that fervent for the cause, but I was wrong. And he starts to share his testimony and he starts to enlighten them and share truth with them. You know, Paul's not defending his own behaviors and actions from a selfish or a human standpoint, but from God's position, from a changed heart standpoint. He says, I am verily a man which am a Jew born in Tarsus. I'm nothing special. But by the end of verse 3, he says, I had the same kind of zeal you have. I understand where you're coming from. I was once where you are now. You know, as Christians, one of the things that we can share with others in regards to our testimony is that very truth. We all once were where the lost are now. We might have been younger when we were saved. Maybe you were only 4 or 5 or 10 or 12 when you were saved. But you were, at one point, you were an unsaved individual. You were lost. Maybe you were saved when you were a little older and you can relate more to what it feels like to live in a world not knowing Christ, not believing the gospel, not going to church. As an adult, maybe you've experienced that before you came to Christ. So you can say, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're saying. I was once where you are now, but everything's changed. Everything's changed. You know, I talk to people sometimes and they sort of marvel at my life because they knew me in a certain season. And they would say, well, you didn't behave this way. You weren't a pastor when I knew you. You might have been a Christian, but you weren't living like one. You know, you're not the same guy at all. And I love when people notice that and they're willing to say that because then I get to share with them the reasons why. Yeah. You know, I once was where you are. I used to have the same questions that you have, but I'll tell you, God has brought me on a journey and he's revealed to me things that I didn't know I wanted to know. And it's been amazing. The people around us are where we used to be in some way, to some degree. And we have a testimony that we can share. And it can often start with this. Hey, I know exactly where you're coming from. I used to think the same way that you did. I used to have the same questions, the same complaints about church or the Bible, the same criticisms. But it's all changed. Paul is sharing the truth of his own life. You know, you can dispute a lot of things with somebody, but you can't dispute their own testimony. If somebody tells me something about themselves, then I have to take it at face value that it must be true. Paul is sharing his testimony. He says, look, I was once like you all were, or all are, I should say. Verse 4, he says, and I persecuted this way unto the death. This way, those Christians, those that love the Lord Jesus Christ, what I'm doing now, I used to persecute Christians that did that very thing. I was like you. I would have been in that crowd trying to take my life as well. I was like you, but it's all changed now. Things are different. I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. So Paul is relating. He's saying, look, I know what you're getting at. I understand that fervor and that zeal. I was once like you. I had that kind of zeal and fervor for the law and for the cultures and the traditions that you're upholding. And I vehemently fought against anyone that was a Christian. I persecuted them, he said, even unto death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. You know, Paul makes a subtle point here that we don't want to miss. He's saying, I was sincere, I was devout, I was determined, and I was wrong. That's a hard place to end up, isn't it? Yeah, I was wrong. I was determined, I was zealous, I had fervor, I was sincere, but I was absolutely wrong. And the God that I thought I was serving, I was actually working against. And so he's being honest. He's sharing his testimony. Guys, I was once like you, but things changed. And he's about to share with them what changed. He had an encounter with Christ, and it changed his whole perspective about life. You know, sometimes we can be sincerely wrong and believe that we're in a right place, even in a godly place. But it's the Word of God that helps give us that direction. It's the Word of God that helps guide us to make sure that where we are in our thinking, our beliefs, are where God is, where God wants us to be, not where we want to be. So Paul is simply admitting the truth. I did these things. I was zealous like you, but I was absolutely wrong. And sometimes we can be sincere, but we can be sincerely wrong. Well, he goes on to say this, verse 5, as also the high priest doth bear me witness. He goes on to say, look, I even had the approval of the high priest. He loved me. We got along really, really well. We worked together. He's trying to demonstrate to them, look, I know exactly what you're saying. I am you. I was you. I came from the same place that you're at right now. The high priest, he says, bear me witness, all the estate of the elders of Sanhedrin, they supported me, from whom also I received letters. They wrote me letters. They said, here you go and you get those nasty Christians. I was where you are now. I thought I knew what I was doing. I thought I was right. He said, I went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem and to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. Well, Paul is making it very clear right off the bat. I know where you're coming from. I was where you are, but I was wrong. You know, there's something about somebody sharing with you the fact that they were wrong about something that sort of gives weight to what they're saying. When somebody stands before you and says, I'm right about everything, I'm never wrong, you know, listen to what I have to say, and you know, we sometimes take it with a grain of salt, saying, yeah, well, maybe. But when somebody says, look, I really blew it, I made some stupid mistakes in my life, I'll tell you, I thought I was right, but I was dead wrong, and here's where I am now. This is what I learned, this is what God has shown me. There seems to be a level of sincerity to that kind of a statement. Say, okay. There's no pride there. He's not trying to trick me. He's coming with humility. Paul's saying, look, I made some major mistakes. I had the authority of the priests, the elders, but I was wrong. And he says in verse 6, it came to pass that as I made my journey, I was nigh unto Damascus. He says, I was going to Damascus to take care of business. I had the letter from the high priest in my hand. I was going there to put those Christians into prison, to see them off to death. And I thought I was doing the work of God, just as you all think you're doing. To the mob, he would say. That's what he was implying. Paul admits to being wrong and actually being one of the worst as far as persecuting Christians is concerned. You know, it's interesting. I jotted down just quickly. The present gives us opportunity. Paul is just taking advantage of the opportunity that he has to share his testimony. The future gives us hope. Paul is sharing his present testimony, presently, right now, on the spot, with the hope that some of them will be saved. Some of them will believe, and some of them will trust in Christ and be saved. But it's interesting that he also is focused on his past mistakes, and he uses humility. He says, I was wrong. And I had to learn that. I had to see that. On the road to Damascus is where he's enlightened. Here's what it says. A light shone from heaven. A great light, it says, round about me. And I fell onto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? This is, of course, Jesus Christ. Paul's about to ask, and Jesus is about to tell him who he is. But I love the fact that Paul's encounter with Christ starts with light. A great light. By the way, a light so bright that it blinds Paul. He's got to see Ananias, and Ananias prays for him, and he gets his sight back. But this is a light that absolutely blinds Paul, gets his attention, stops him in his tracks. Paul has no other option but to stop what he's doing and pay attention to what's happening. And it's the light that is shining that does the trick. I love the fact that it starts with light. You know, often that's the case when we're sharing testimony with others. You can sometimes see the light come on. Have you ever had that happen? When you're talking to somebody and they're not getting it, and then all of a sudden they get it, and you're like, they got it. You saw the light come on. They realized. They connected the dots, and they see the logic and the wisdom in what you're saying. And you see that light come on. I can remember, this isn't my own original idea, but I had learned from the teachings of a guy named Ray Comfort and others that had this practice of talking to people on the streets about their own goodness. And what they would do is they would go out and they would say, well, do you believe you're a good person? And you've all heard this before, but bear with me. And they would say, yeah, I'm not perfect, but I'm a pretty good person. It's okay, great. You know, most everybody thinks that. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever told a lie? And then, of course, they would always eventually say, well, yeah, I've told a lie. Okay, so me too, Comfort would say. And then they would say, have you ever, he would use another example, have you ever stolen anything? And usually the individual that he was talking to would have to admit, yeah, not a lot, but yeah, I guess there was once that I stole something in my life. And then Ray Comfort would say, okay, yeah, fair enough, me too. And then he would usually add a third one, and it was often adultery. Have you ever lusted after somebody in your mind? That's a hard one to have to admit to, but who hasn't? So they would usually eventually admit, say, yeah, you know, I guess I have done that. And then Ray Comfort would say, you know, the Bible says if you lust after someone, that's the same as committing adultery. And he would usually stop at three, and then he would ask this question. Now, you just said you're a pretty good person. If you were to stand before God knowing that you've lied, you've stolen, and you've committed adultery in your heart, how is God going to see you? And most people get the connection. They realize. He would ask this question. If you were to stand before God as you are right now, according to what you've just admitted, would you be innocent or guilty of breaking God's laws? Well, anybody would have to admit, well, I guess I'd be guilty. Are you concerned about that? And that's when the answer hopefully would come, yes, I am. Well, let me talk to you about Jesus. He died to save you from that guilt. And if you trust in him, you can be forgiven and you can be saved. So that when you stand before God, God sees nothing but the righteousness of his Son and not your sin anymore. It's wonderful, the gospel, amen? And this is the hope. This is the testimony that Paul wants to share. But he's trying to connect with the people. He's saying, I know where you're coming from. I know why you think the way that you do. And he's trying to help them. He's trying to bridge that gap. And he's saying, I used to be the same way, but then I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. The light came on. And that's when everything started to change. Well, just as we continue to read, it says in verse 7, I fell onto the ground, Paul said. I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul, what are you fighting against me for? Why are you persecuting me? Why are you working against me? This was the question. Can you imagine? He's blinded by this bright light. He just falls on the ground. He said, what is going on? What was that? And then he hears this voice from heaven in some way. Nobody else heard the voice, by the way. They all saw the light, but only Paul heard the voice. And the voice says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? That's a pretty valid question. As Paul is doing the work of God, he hears this supernatural voice, this blinding light, and he's asked this question, what are you doing? You think you're doing right. You think you're being sincere. You think you're doing the work of God. But I'm telling you, you're persecuting me. And this is where it all comes together. Verse 8, he answered unto him, Lord, who art thou, Lord? In other words, sir, who is this? What's going on? Who are you? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. You know, this changed everything. Paul is literally on his face, blinded by the light. And he's asked the question, why are you persecuting me, the church, Christians? Why are you doing what you're doing? Remember, he's on the road to Damascus, literally going to what? Persecute Christians. And on the way, he's interrupted by this bright light. He's on his face, and the question is asked, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul wants to know, who is this? What's going on? No doubt, he recognizes it's supernatural. And then Jesus responds, I am Jesus of Nazareth. I am Jesus of Nazareth. And this changes everything. Paul, who had persecuted Christians, who had a vehement hatred for Jesus, who did not believe Jesus was the Messiah, is now having a conversation with Jesus. The light has come on. He is on his face before the Lord God, completely perplexed, being grilled as to his behavior. Answer me. Saul, why are you persecuting me? What are you doing? Well, who is this? It's Jesus. Jesus, the one I don't believe in, the one that I don't believe rose from the dead, the one that I didn't believe is the Son of God, the one that is now clearly speaking to me, clearly I'm having this experience and you are here. And everything begins to change in Paul's mind. It's amazing to consider that Paul is literally getting it right here and right now as Jesus tells him who he is. It's Jesus. You're persecuting me. Verse 9, and they that were with me saw indeed the light, Paul says to them. He's telling the mob, remember, he's explaining, he's sharing his testimony. I was once like you. What happened? I saw the light, I heard the voice, I fell on my face, and I had a conversation with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who I once denied, but knew on that spot, in that moment, I could no longer deny it. It was undeniable. And this is the testimony that many of us have. It may not look exactly the same way, but I guarantee you, in every one of our experiences, in some way, the light came on. You recognize, you understood in some way that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. You heard his voice. Whether you were convicted in your heart, whether you were reading the Bible and were challenged to believe what it said, you heard the voice of God speaking to you. Maybe it was through another Christian. Maybe it was through a preacher. Maybe it was through a billboard on the highway somewhere. But God spoke to you. The light had come on. He's now speaking to you. And eventually, thank the Lord, as Christians, we can say, we yielded. We fell on our face. We began to dialogue. We began to question what we thought we believed, what we thought we were doing that was right. But now maybe things are different. And thankfully, again, Christian, if you're here today and you know Christ, you came to the conclusion that Paul comes to. Jesus is Lord. I submit to him. And so Paul is sharing this experience with the mob. Essentially, Christian, this is what we share with others as well. We tell people, the light came on. I sat, I listened to the preaching of the Word of God, and I got it. It made sense to me. I was convicted by what I heard. Yes, I am a sinner. I'm not a great person. I'm not a bad person, but I do break God's laws. And I do believe in God, and I recognize because of creation and heaven and earth all around me that there must be a God, and the Bible says that there's a God. And if there is, I'm going to stand before Him someday, and I know I've broken His laws. Am I concerned? Yes. And then I had a conversation with Jesus. And I realized that it was him that I was working against. Even as a young boy at 10 years old, I realized that I was his enemy at that point in my life. And then, of course, I also believed that he died for me, that he loves me, that he paid the price for my sins against him. Isn't it amazing that God works on our behalf against our evil against him? I mean, it's incredible. God works on our behalf for us against our evil, against him. Despite that, he loves us. He wants us to be saved. Paul experienced that very thing. He's working against God. Despite that, God shows up. I need to talk to you. And it goes on to tell him in a little while that I'm going to use you. You're going to suffer many things for my sake, for my name's sake, Paul. And I'm going to use you. And Paul doesn't look back. He never looks back. Well, the testimony that Paul shared is in a lot of ways similar to our testimonies. I hope that you have one. I hope that there was a time in your life when the light came on and you realized, I'm a sinner. If I leave this world without my faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I'm in trouble. It's not about being perfect. It's about being safe. It's about acknowledging the Savior, the Messiah, the one who died for you, and accepting that gift, the free gift, the Bible says, of salvation, saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. And salvation is a heavenly gift that only sinners can receive. And I am a sinner, and I want that gift of salvation and forgiveness. And if we put our faith in Christ, the Bible says that's exactly what we receive, salvation and forgiveness. Paul, sharing his testimony, verse 10, it says, and I said, what shall I do, Lord? As he shares with the mob what had happened next, the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. He gives him a little bit of direction. Well, here's what you need to do. Go to Damascus next. You'll learn more when you get there. That's the way it works for all of us as Christians, right? God didn't tell us a whole lot. We got saved, and then we're like, what next? Go to church, okay? Read the Bible. It'll come. You'll get there. So he gives some directions to Paul here. Go to Damascus and you'll find out there what's appointed thee to do. Verse 11, and when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. I love the fact that those that were with Paul, if you sometimes don't consider those guys, they're watching their leader, Paul, the guy that they're under his command. They're all going into, we're going to get these miserable Christians. I'm looking forward to this, aren't you? Oh, this is going to be great. All of a sudden, Paul's on his face. They all see the bright light. They're kind of freaked out. They don't hear the voice. They don't know what's going on. Paul stands up, completely different guy. I love that. What do you mean we're not going to Damascus anymore? There's been a change of plans. I got to tell something to you guys. Jesus is Lord. Sometimes people in our circles are absolutely astounded at the changes in our lives, especially when we come to Christ. That moment is so riveting for them. They don't understand. What do you mean? You're going to church again? You went last week. Yeah, that's why I'm going back. The Lord saved me. I love Him. I want to learn more about Him. I want to be a part of the bride of Christ. I want to be a part of the body of Christ. I want to grow with Christ. I want to learn more. I want to share it with others. And I love the fact that they take Paul by the hand. They're leading the one who is now hopefully going to try to lead them away from the direction they were headed. So they're leading this blind leader of theirs who's had a change of heart. You couldn't see, they're leading him. Verse 12, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me. By the way, the mob would have recognized, to some degree, Ananias was a devout Jew. So they would have, okay, well, he's not against us in that way. If he's talking about Ananias, he's, oh yeah, Ananias was there. According to the law, it says, verse 13, came unto me and stood and said unto me, brother Saul, receive thy sight. He's sharing with them how he got his sight back. Remember, he went, Ananias prayed over him. Ananias was a little concerned at first, if you'll remember. Paul, Lord, he's a bad dude. You sure you want me to talk to Paul? Can you imagine that experience as Ananias sees Paul? And Paul's a completely different guy. He's had an encounter with Christ. Verse 14, he said, the God of our fathers had chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Ananias said to Paul, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. In other words, Paul's saying, that's why I'm here. That's why I've been doing what I've been doing, even though you're upset. This is what happened. This is why I'm doing it. Christian, this is part of our testimony. You go to church an awful lot. Yeah, here's why. I've met Christ. I had a conversation with him about my sin. I've read his word. He has saved me. I am his, and I want others to know about him. I want others to understand their need for Christ and his love for them. Verse 16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin, calling on the name of the Lord. Ananias said to Paul, jot it down, Paul was blind, but now he can see. And everything has changed. Everything has changed. One of the things that as Christians, and I need to close, we're out of time, but one of the things as Christians that it would be really good for us to keep in mind, it helps us, it keeps us from being bitter, from being angry with those around us that maybe reject Christ, reject us as believers, is to recognize that they don't know that they don't know. Paul didn't know that he didn't know Christ was the Messiah. He didn't know he was wrong. He thought he was sincere. He thought he was doing the work of God. He thought he was on the right side. He thought he was one of the good guys. And the Christians were the bad guys. He was completely wrong. But you know that there are so many in the world around us that believe the exact same thing. In their eyes, we're the bad guys. We're the extremists. We're the ones that don't love everyone and we're not tolerant and all those other things that we hear from day after day after day. But the truth is simply the opposite. And we have the opportunity, as God allows and God provides us, to share our testimonies with those around us to say, look, all I know is this is what I was like and I had an encounter with God. The light came on. I heard him speak to me. I yielded to him and he is my Lord and my Savior. No, Paul had a change in his heart and now he has a change in his life and a change in his behavior. And the same thing, Lord willing, will happen to us as God provides us with opportunities. And it all started with calling on the name of the Lord, just as Paul did. We were once blind. We didn't know that we didn't know. We didn't know that we couldn't see. We thought we knew. We thought we were doing the right things. And then the light came on and the truth set us free, as it were. And so there's many around us that don't know the truth yet. And it helps me to be patient with them to recognize that they're blind. They don't know that they can't see. But once they can see, just like Paul, once, it was funny that he had to be blind in order to see the truth. God had to blind him with the light of his truth and speak to him before Paul would listen. But now he can see. Now he knows the truth. So he was sharing his testimony with his mob, and he's not quite done yet. We'll have to finish this up next week. But God provided Paul with an opportunity to do something that was going to make people very mad at him. This was just the beginning of his incarceration. It doesn't end until his life ends. We don't get the whole story, but all the way through the rest of the book of Acts, he's incarcerated, he's in prison, and God puts him before the mob, he puts him before the Sanhedrin, he puts him before Felix, Festus, Augustus. He just continues to share his testimony with every single person and group that God puts him in front of. And this is the reason that God has him in the position that he has in him. So wherever you are in your life, Christian, I know this. As Darlene saying to us earlier, God wants to use you and God wants to use me, just everyday people, to share our testimonies with those around us about Jesus Christ. And if we're willing to take those opportunities, not every time, but many times, the light will come on. And God will always use his word. It will never return void. So, Father, thank you for these truths this morning. And as we close this morning and break bread now, we just thank you so much for your patience with us. And, Lord, there was a time in our lives that we were your enemy. Unsaved, we didn't know that we were your enemy. We didn't know that we were lost. We didn't realize, Father, we didn't know or believe that Jesus is and was the Son of God, that he was our only hope. But, Father, thank you for those that you sent to us. Thank you for providing them platforms in our lives to speak their testimonies that we would hear the truth. Thank you that the light came on. Lord, that we had to be blinded to our own ways of doing things and our eyes needed to be opened to the truth that your Son, Father, is our only hope, Jesus Christ. Thank you again for the account in your word this morning that we can learn from it. We pray that you would help us to be faithful with our own testimonies, that we would go out and share with others what Christ has done in our lives. And God, we ask for your help, for your protection, and for your blessing as we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to break bread here, and I'm going to ask Nancy to play just the first verse as the men distribute the cup and the bread this morning. We're going to sing together hymn number 439. This is our closing hymn. Just remain seated, but we're going to sing 439. Start with the first verse. We'll see how far we get.
My love, I give to thee, thou Lamb of God who died for me. Oh, may I ever faithful be, my Savior.
Let's continue.
I now believe thou dost receive, for thou hast died that I might live. And now henceforth I trust in thee, my Savior and my God. Oh, thou who died on Calvary to save my soul and make me free, I'll consecrate my life to thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me, my Savior and my God.
Thank you, Nancy. Sorry, I didn't give direction on the rest of that verse there, that song. We'll come back to it here in just a minute. We break bread once a month. It's something that we do on purpose. We're commanded to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, sir. One or two there. To remember, to honor, and to remember what Christ has done for us. So the breaking of bread, when we have communion, it's done different ways, maybe in different places, but the idea is that we are remembering what Christ did for us. The bread and the wine are symbolic of the blood of Christ and the body of Christ. Nothing magical about this little cup, a plastic cup with juice in it. It's symbolic. The power, of course, is in the sacrifice Christ made on our behalf, but we're remembering that sacrifice. So as Christians, the Bible says that we should come together and we should do this. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So we're honoring Christ. We're remembering what he did for us. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And the idea, it is a warning. And the idea is that we don't take this lightly. In other words, if I gathered together with believers at the Lord's table and I'm not a Christian, I don't believe these things, I'm not interested in these things, I've not actually committed my life to the Lord, I'm guilty, as it says here in the text, of the body and the blood of the Lord. I've not come under the blood yet. I'm still on the enemy side of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So the point is simply this. We need to be careful to make sure that, number one, we are saved. If you're here this morning and you're not sure, that's one of the perks of my job. And, of course, all of us as Christians. I would love nothing more than to sit down with you and simply chat, look at some verses, pray together with you to make sure that you know. All right, I know for sure now that when I leave this world, I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, that I'm saved. If you're here today and you're not sure, you can be sure. You can know for sure. As Christians, the other thing we need to consider as we examine ourselves is, am I walking with Christ or am I living in sin? Because you can't do both at the same time. I've tried. It's impossible. You can't rest in the peace of the Lord and live in sin at the same time. It will not happen. And for that reason, if we try to do that, we're not in a right relationship with Christ. And so the communion table provides us with an opportunity just to be honest in our hearts with the Lord and say, God, there's some things in my life that shouldn't be there. As I drink this cup, as I eat this bread, I want to be honest with you. Forgive me. Help me to turn from those things. And so as we break bread, it's important to take a minute just to examine ourselves. Number one, to make sure that you're a Christian. And if you're not, we can fix that today. And I encourage you to do that. For by grace are you saved through faith. And number two, as Christians, to make sure that we're walking with the Lord. The enemy wants to lead us astray. God wants us to be safe. So let's take a moment. We'll just pray to ourselves and examine our own hearts before we break bread. Amen. I'm going to ask this morning if Larry would ask the blessing on the cup, please, if you would, or on the bread, sorry, if you would.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for being able to promote and have this fellowship with you, Lord, as we take communion. We know, Lord, that the body was broken for us and die on the cross. We just pray, Lord, as we remember the day that we have accepted you or asked you in our hearts, Lord, that we'll again remember that what you did for us and that where we are going when we leave this world. We just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. As we take the bread, remembering the words of Jesus, he said, take, eat, this is my body, again, symbolically broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Mr. Brent, would you please ask the blessing this morning on the cup, if you would? Thank you.
Shed for us, that you died for us, that we might live and help make men free. And just pray that you will guide through us.
Amen. Also, Christ said these words, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. Thank you, church, for your patience. Let's stand together. We're going to sing. Let's sing the third verse of "I'll Live for Him" one last time as we close here today. So we'll stand together and we're going to sing the third verse of "I'll Live for Him," 439. Though we ride on Calvary to save my soul and make me free, I'll consecrate my life to Thee, my Savior. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for Him who died for me, my Savior and my God. Lord, we ask for your blessing as we leave here today. Be with each of us, Lord. Keep us safe. We love and thank you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church.